Hello, welcome to a new edition of RAE, Radiodifusión Argentina al Exterior. We are the international service of the Argentine Radio, transmitting from the city of Buenos Aires via the shortwaves of WRMI, Miami Radio International, and also via internet on rae.com.ar. My name is Fernando Farias, and together with sound technician Gloria Sarmiento, we're going to be bringing you this show in English for Friday, May 23, 2025. We'll have news, we'll have sports, a little bit of music. Speaking of music, we are going to pay honor to the late Atahualpa Yupanqui, one of the most important figures in the history of Latin American music, who passed away exactly 33 years ago. Today is Atahualpa's death anniversary in 1992, and that's why we are going to play a feature produced by RAE on his biography and his most important works. We'll also have part two of the documentary on Buenos Aires City's tourist attractions, Dear Buenos Aires. If you want to get in touch with us, send an email to qslraya@gmail.com or a letter to Maipú Street 555, and then of course Buenos Aires, Argentina. Either way is okay for sending reception reports if you are at the EXA. This show airs on the shortwaves of WRMI on the frequency of 5850 kHz and also via internet on rae.com.ar plus our app for mobile devices that you can download for free. It's available for both Android and Apple phones. It's called Digital RAE or simply RAE. Let's get started now with the news. These are the headlines. Milei government eases banking and financial restrictions. Trade unions reject strike decree. Venezuela's President Maduro announces arrests of alleged mercenaries that were targeting the elections. Report finds most wildfires occurred in Brazil. Uruguay summons Israeli ambassador over West Bank attack. Sports. Newell's beat Defensa y Justicia to reach the Copa Argentina last 16. And these are the news. The government of Javier Milei is easing restrictions and controls on banking and financial movements. Presidential spokesperson Manuel Adorni presented what he called a historical savings reparation plan for Argentines. He said a decree would be signed to eliminate what he described as absurd controls. The plan, he explained, aims to stop people being persecuted, he said, for tax-related reasons. Economy Minister Luis Caputo said in turn the initiative seeks to give people the freedom to manage their savings. Under the slogan, "Your dollars, your decision," thresholds for reporting cash withdrawals and transfers will be raised. Analysts say the government hopes savers will bring dollars stored outside the system, such as in safety deposit boxes, back into the system. Argentina's main umbrella union, the CGT, has rejected the Milei administration's plan to change regulations on striking. One of its leaders, Héctor Daer, warned that they would take any measure infringing on the right to protest to court. The CGT also said it may bring the case before the International Labour Organization, which is based in Geneva. On Thursday, the government issued a decree expanding the list of sectors whose activities are deemed as essential. In areas such as education, telecoms and transport, among others, up to 75% of services must be maintained even during strikes. Employer organizations such as the Argentine Industrial Union backed the move, but the CGT and other unions insists it is unconstitutional. Meanwhile, around 8,000 people marched in the capital yesterday demanding better wages for the University of Buenos Aires staff. They also called for more funding and student scholarships. A new study shows that nearly half of 2024's forest fires occurred in Brazil. The research comes from the University of Maryland in the United States. It attributes this spike to extreme heat worsened by climate change. The report states that, for the first time, fire destroyed more forests than agribusiness activities. Uruguay has launched a formal protest over an incident in the West Bank involving its representative in Palestine, Fernando Arroyo. The foreign ministry summoned Israeli ambassador Michal Hershkovitz to present an official complaint. A statement demanded an investigation and assurances for the safety of Uruguayan diplomats. Officials say a delegation was shot at by Israeli soldiers while visiting Jenin in the West Bank. Arroyo was part of a diplomatic group monitoring the humanitarian situation in the area. Uruguay's President Yamandu Orsi condemned the incident, criticized Israel's offensive in Gaza, and also rejected all forms of violence, including war and kidnappings. In Venezuela, President Nicolas Maduro says around 50 alleged mercenaries planning to sabotage upcoming local elections have been arrested. He said the detainees were terrorists who intended to strike during Sunday's votes. They came in to plant bombs and to carry out violent attacks, Maduro declared at a campaign event. Several of those arrested are foreigners, including one Argentine, one Spaniard, and one Algerian, according to the government. Opposition leader Maria Corina Machado has urged voters to boycott the election, calling Maduro's government illegitimate. Mr. Maduro, let's recall, was re-elected in a vote that the opposition and several foreign governments, including Argentina's, do not recognize. And now sports. In the Copa Argentina, Newell's Old Boys defeated Defensa y Justicia 2-0. The club from Rosario in Santa Fe province now advances to the round of 16 of this ongoing national tournament, which includes teams from all categories and from all over the country. And these were the news on RAE, Radio Difusión Argentina al Exterior.
RAE, Argentina al Mundo. RAE, Argentina, 面向世界.
RAE, Argentina vers le monde.
RAE, Argentina to the world.
RAE, 世界に向けて, Argentina.
RAE, Argentina al Mundo.
La RAE, Argentina al Mundo.
RAE, Argentina in the world.
RAE, Argentina al Mundo.
Coming up, a feature on Atahualpa Yupanqui, the legendary folk songwriter, singer, who passed away exactly 33 years ago today. But now, a throwback to the early 1990s with a very popular band from the city of Rosario, Vilma Palma y Vampiros, in a track called Bye Bye on RAE.
Déjame que yo te pueda ver.
Argentina al mundo.
RAI, Argentina, 面向世界。
RAI,
Argentina vers le monde.
RAI, Argentina to the world.
RAI, 世界に向けてアルゼンチン。
RAI, Argentina al mundo.
RAI, Argentina al mundo.
RAI, Argentinian in the world.
RAI, Argentina al mundo.
Considered the most important figure in Argentine folklore, Héctor Roberto Chavero was born in Pergamino, province of Buenos Aires, in 1908. Since his early childhood, he decided to call himself Atahualpa Yupanqui, in honor of the Inca blood running in his veins. Atahualpa, besides being the name of the last Inca emperor,refers in the Quechua language, together with Yupanqui, to the one who comes from far off lands to tell us something. Atahualpa grew up in the countryside. He was a good observer, reserved like a real countryman. Faithful narrator of the mysteries of the earth, man, and the rural landscape were the topics of his extensive work, which covers not only the music, but also literature and the movies. An essential figure of the Argentine folklore, he recalls his beginning with the guitar.
Bautista Almirón, mi viejo profesor de guitarra,Cuando yo tenía 9 años, 10, que mis padres me recomendaron.
Atahualpa told us that he started studying guitar when he was around 10. Since there was not any teacher of violin, his parents sent him to study the guitar with a teacher who lived in the nearest locality, Junín, some 20 kilometers away. He had to travel that distance generally on horseback. Every time he had a lesson, he paid, doing some gardening.
La estación Roca.Se llamaban Fortín Federación porque era una defensa contra los indios en otro tiempo.
That one was his only teacher. Thank you. He was not 20 yet when he composed Camino del Indio, the Indian Road. Shortly afterwards, he set out on a trip to Jujuy, Bolivia, and the Calchaquí valleys, and he never stopped traveling. He considered himself a wanderer, a stroller, a pilgrim. To support himself during his youth, he did different jobs, while at the same time he composed. And wherever he went, he took his music with him. And whatever place he got to know was a source of inspiration. Sometimes temporary places, but his mind kept them all. And these registers were the elements of a new work. He felt a moral obligation, his mission. He said he had to prevent things from vanishing and disappearing. In 1943, Atahualpa presented Stone and Road, maybe the most important piece composed until that time. A modern, disruptive jamba with much elaborated lyrics. Atahualpa offers us the illusion of a tradition bearing both invention and inheritance. In 1945, Atahualpa Yupanqui registered with the Communist Party. He kept his filiation till 1952, and his critical attitude of the Peronist government imposed on him a forced silence during all those years in his own country. His performances were banned. He could not work, and his recordings were interrupted from 1947 to 1953. Thank you. Shortly before being censored in 1944, he recorded El Arriero, the Cowboy, a piece he himself defined as slightly social, but which was signaled by the critics as a prodigy, a milestone, the beginning of a new social folklore. As a matter of fact, Yupanqui is considered the forerunner of the Latin American songwriter, the one that reunites authorship, composition, and performance in only one person. He comes before Victor Jara, Chabuca Granda, and Silvio Rodríguez, and all of them would later recognize they were influenced by Yupanqui.
Las arenas bailan los remolinos, el sol juega en el brillo del pedregal, y prendido a la magia de los caminos, el arriero va, es bandera de niebla su poncho al viento. Lo saludan las flautas del pajonal y animando a la tropa por esos cerros, el arriero va, las penas y las vaquitas se van por la misma senda, las penas y las vaquitas se van por la misma senda. Las penas son de nosotros, las vaquitas son ajenas. Las penas son de nosotros, las vaquitas son ajenas. Cuello de soles muestra la tarde, se han dormido las luces del pedregal, y animando a la tropa, dale que dale, el arriero va, Amalaya la noche traiga recuerdo. Que hagan menos pesada la soledad, como sombra en la sombra por esos cerros, el arriero va, las penas y las vaquitas se van por la misma senda, las penas y las vaquitas se van por la misma senda. Las penas son de nosotros, las vaquitas son ajenas. Las penas son de nosotros, las vaquitas son ajenas. Y prendido a la magia de los caminos, el arriero va, el arriero.
Therefore, condemned by the Peronist government, he started traveling to Europe regularly, going on long trips during which he would obtain exceptional recognition. In 1949, he performed in different countries of the communist orbit: Hungary, Czechoslovakia, Romania, and Bulgaria. He then settled in Paris, where he got acquainted with different artists and intellectuals of the time. He met Edith Piaf, who remained impressed by his art, and invited him to take part in her own recitals before the French public, where he obtained a sweeping success. And he recalls these years in an interview, Don Atta.
Yo tenía amistad con Paul Éluard, entre poetas, y un día me dijo, mañana no tomes compromiso,
Atahualpa said that in Paris he was introduced to Edith Piaf, who upon hearing him play, told him that Paris couldn't be deprived of his music. Piaf herself hired a theater room, had the advertising signs printed, and introduced him before the public. It was a time of glory. He became a learned man, traveled through Spain and Japan. Contracts were by the thousands. And the paradox was that in Argentina, he was still banned, because he continued being considered an old communist. And Atahualpa continued coming and going, always bringing something to tell about those far-off lands. And although he never stopped, he chose the Cerro Colorado spot in Córdoba as his place of residence. He returned there whenever he could, and he asked to be buried there under the shade of an oak tree he himself had planted. Atahualpa Yupanqui died at the age of 84 in 1992. He left over 300 songs and more than a dozen books.
Aquí canta un caminante que muy mucho ha caminado y ahora vive tranquilo y en el Cerro Colorado. Largo mis coplas al viento por donde quiera que voy. Soy árbol lleno de frutos como plantita de mistol. Cuando ensillo mi caballo me largo por las arenas y en la mitad del camino ya me he olvidado de las penas. Caminiaga Santa Elena, el Yurqui rayo cortado. No hay pago como mi pago, viva el Cerro Colorado.
El camino, yo creo que se compone de infinitas.
The road is full of stops that make it so positive and beautiful.
Cuando el amor me hizo señas, todo entero me encendí. Cuando el amor me hizo señas, todo entero me encendí. Le tengo rabia al silencio, por lo mucho que perdí. Que no se quede callado quien quiera vivir feliz.
Well, we just shared this feature on Atahualpa Yupanqui, the late folk music singer-songwriter, as the feature states at the beginning, the most important folk figure ever, probably, together with Mercedes Sosa, at least within Argentina. Now we're going to have part two of a documentary called Dear Buenos Aires on the main attractions of Buenos Aires City. You can check it out in its entirety online on YouTube.
The final foundation of Buenos Aires was carried out by Juan de Garay on the present Plaza de Mayo, which has always been the essential center of the country's public affairs. During the colonial period, Plaza de Mayo was the civic and commercial heart of the city, constantly transited by authorities, businessmen, military men, and common people. It was also the place where criminals condemned to death were killed, and during the civil wars, the official scenery for many public executions. At all times, Plaza de Mayo has been the venue of mass meetings and demonstrations to celebrate, as well as to support or criticize governments of different political parties. The plaza, which covers 2 hectares, underwent several modifications over time. Its present design dates back to 1900, when it was remodeled by the landscape designer Carlos Thays. In its center stands the first monument ever erected in Argentina, the Pirámide de Mayo, the May Pyramid, built to commemorate the first anniversary of the May Revolution. Originally, it was a simple hollow obelisk, 15 meters high, crowned by a ball as shown in old engravings and watercolors. Its present appearance is the result of changes made in 1857. It is around 19 meters high and encloses the first pyramid from 1811. It is topped by the Statue of Liberty, which shows a quiet attitude and broken chains at her feet, but is ready for defense, with a lance in the right hand and a shield resting on the left. The other monument on the square is dedicated to General Manuel Belgrano, creator of the national flag. Its pedestal is united by a granite surface to the mast where the flag waves. When the sun sets, the flag is lowered by a group of soldiers from the historic regiment Granaderos a Caballo, which, as custodians of the president of the nation, are responsible for guarding the neighboring government house. The central government headquarters are located in the so-called Casa Rosada, built on the site once occupied by the Fort of Buenos Aires, seat of governors and viceroys during the Spanish domain. Its history is rich in refurbishing and additions, but its present aspect is the result of joining 2 buildings separated by a passageway. Towards 1886, they were integrated by a large central arch. The building, with its characteristic pink color, combines great quantity of dissimilar architectural elements. Although its 4 fronts are different, the construction looks sober and attractive. Works carried out during recent years enabled the discovery of remnants from the original fort and the old customs warehouse on the sector facing the river. It is interesting to visit them, as well as the Museum of Presidents, located in the basement of the building. On the northern side of the square is the monumental neoclassical facade of the Metropolitan Cathedral. It was built on the ground indicated by the founder, Juan de Garay, but it is the 7th church built on that site. The first ones, made of mud and straw, deteriorated, being replaced by others, which in turn suffered damages, collapsed, and were demolished. The construction of the present cathedral was initiated in 1745. Its front, with columns which symbolize the 12 apostles, and a tympanum with a low relief producing the arrival of Jacob in Egypt, was finished in 1862. But the interior of the building continued to be modified. To its religious importance, the church adds the historical and aesthetic meaning of images, carvings, and sculptures that are framed by altars, cornices, ornaments, and paintings of a remarkable artistic value. One of the best examples is the tabernacle where the Holy Sacrament is shown in an exceptional work of art made of gold and silver, which is more than 2 meters long and weighs 110 kilos. On the front of the cathedral, attention is drawn by the Great Burner, where a flame burns forever. It is a memorial in homage to the greatest hero of Argentina, General José de San Martín, whose remains are in a mausoleum located in the interior of the church, and to the unknown soldier of the independence. Next to the cathedral and facing the Casa Rosada is the historical building which Argentines cherish most, the Metropolitan Cabildo, unmistakable for its colonial architecture, its whiteness, and its tower with a clock. It witnessed the May Revolution of 1810 that initiated the birth of Argentina and the collapse of the Spanish Empire in South America. The first Cabildo was built in 1609, but the final building was started in 1725. It had two floors and 11 arcades, making it 60 meters wide. In colonial times, its members met weekly in this building to take administrative, financial, construction, and judicial decisions related to Buenos Aires and its jurisdiction. During the independent period, it became the site of justice, and towards 1880, the modernizing fever caught Buenos Aires and led to the modification of its tower and its front. Afterwards, the opening of the Avenida de Mayo forced the demolition of three arcades on the northern side, and the diagonal Roque Sanz Peña eliminated another three in the southern part. Deprived of its tower, with only half of its original width and an Italian-style front, it was on the verge of completely disappearing. But in 1940, a conscientious restoration was initiated. The result was the present building. Narrower than the colonial one, it was rebuilt exactly as it looked in the 18th century. The museum inside exhibits plans, paintings, weapons, furniture, and other objects related to the building, plus the May Revolution and the British invasions, which Buenos Aires repelled in 1806 and 1807. Avenida de Mayo is the first luxury Buenos Aires could afford. Its opening in 1889 marked the end of the colonial city and the birth of a cosmopolitan and prosperous metropolis that attracted numerous immigrants. Born nearby the historical Cabildo, it symbolically connects the Casa del Gobierno with the Palacio del Congreso along 10 blocks flanked by buildings having a remarkably rich architecture. Since its inauguration, Avenida de Mayo has always been the place where elected presidents greet the people after assuming office, on their way from the National Congress to the Casa Rosada. The presence of enthusiastic crowds on such occasions has become customary. It also forms part of the itinerary followed by foreign authorities visiting the country. The tall buildings show the eclectic splendor of all styles, from the lively grace of Art Nouveau and the exuberance of the Italian Neo-Renaissance, to the geometric styles of Art Deco and the variances of Neoclassicism and Baroque. In its construction, a whole generation of professionals participated, mostly of European background. They applied the latest technologies of the time, characterized by the use of iron, electric power, and even elevators, together with the noble bronze and the traditional marble. Famous cafes and restaurants open their doors, and top-level hotels, luxurious shops, and large stores prospered on both sides. At that time, Buenos Aires dreamt of becoming the Paris of South America. But Avenida de Mayo clearly reminds us of the Gran Via de Madrid. To walk along the avenue at leisure, observing details enables the visitor to appreciate facades of great ornamental richness. Sculptures, flower pots, atlantes, and caryatids supporting corbels and balconies, friezes decorated with angels and cherubs, or modillions and moldings full of female and male masks make the tour into an attractive experience. On the 800 block is the Gran Café Tortoni. Founded in 1848, it is the most antique café of Buenos Aires and the first one to have outdoor cafés in the summer. It is a traditional gathering place for artists, journalists, musicians, and writers. And its large room, decorated in the early century style, exhibits numerous pictures and paintings in honor of former customers. It centralizes a diverse cultural activity. Poetry readings, as well as jazz and tango shows, take place in the basement. Regarding buildings, very few stand out as much as the Barolo. The architectural mass is treated as if it were a piece of sculpture, rising on the avenida with the grandeur of a fortress. Constructed in 1923, the 100-meter-high building was once the tallest in the city, with 24 floors, each with a different form. Its architect, Mario Pallante from Milan, conceived all at monumental scale, as can be observed walking through the passage by which the Barolo connects Avenida de Mayo with the street Ippolito Irigoyen. The passage has arcades covering three levels. From the vaults, engraved Latin aphorisms invite to reflection. The decorated floor has large glass flowers, and from the ceiling hangs a group of enormous chandeliers. Fantastic creatures sustain lamps of exuberant size. Talking about lights, however, nothing surpasses the enormous revolving beacon which crowns the building. 300,000 candles make it visible from Montevideo, Uruguay. The mass of the Barolo displays its sensual greatness at a short distance from the Plaza del Congreso. And when observed in detail, it is difficult not to get lost in the labyrinth drawn by its concrete curve. Avenida de Mayo ends at Plaza del Congreso, an open space of great hierarchy. It was constructed in 1910 to allow the right perspective to the monumental building where the sessions of the Chambers of Deputies and of Senators, the legislative power, take place. This square has one of the most artistic statues in the city, El Pensador, the Thinker, of August Rodin, and a large monument formed by several groups of sculptures and various figures in bronze. It is a homage to the two congresses that set the basis on which Argentina was founded, the Assembly of 1813 and the Congress that declared independence in 1816. The central motif is the image of the Republic overcoming obstacles and reaching prosperity. It is accompanied by allegories of youth and genius, children rounds and animal figures, especially condors, ready to initiate their majestic flight. All of them are distributed among grand stairs, columns, and balustrades. The group is complemented by a large fountain with a four-horse carriage and the representation of rivers Paraná and Uruguay, pouring their waters into a pool. The whole environment is dominated by the Congress building, a clear combination of Greek and Roman styles, which began to be constructed in 1898 on a design by architect Victor Miano, rich in ornamental details of bronze, granite, and marble. Its majestic structure is crowned by a great dome built with engraved bronze. On the southern part of the Plaza de Mayo begin the neighborhoods of San Telmo and Montserrat. Limits once precise, but have lost definition for the porteños of today, who gave them the generic name of Barrio Sur, the southern neighborhood. Since the colonial city was developed there, the area is the oldest of Buenos Aires, as evidenced by its old houses and numerous churches. The modern buildings have not diluted the ancient charm of the patios, the shadowy corridors, and the iron filigree of balconies. Many of those houses belonged to distinguished families until a terrible yellow fever epidemic, which devastated the city in 1871, provoked a massive exodus of the richest to the northern part of the city. The spacious houses were then partitioned and subdivided, giving origin to the conventillo, a name given to tenement houses where thousands of immigrant families shared their needs with the poorest local population. It was in that environment that the tango developed. The area constitutes today one of the most charming itineraries of the city, taking advantage of its old features, antique shops, restaurants, and tanguerias. San Telmo created an active nightlife. There are galleries entirely devoted to the sale of souvenirs, antiques, and curious objects. Every Sunday at the small Plaza do Rego in the heart of San Telmo, there is a fascinating fair of antiques, curious objects, and artisan works, enriched by the presence of outdoor musicians and dancers who play and dance tango for local and foreign visitors. A Another corner where the charm of the old Buenos Aires can be appreciated is the neighborhood of La Boca, which was born as a sort of independent settlement around the small port to become later, towards 1880, a colony of Genovese immigrants. With high sidewalks to protect the houses from the frequent floods affecting the area in the past, its streets run between houses made of wood and sheet metal, painted with vivid colors. Two enormous bridges over the Riachuelo dominate the sky of La Boca from above. The dark profile of the old transporter bridge, true representative of the iron architecture, is an irresistible temptation for those who love the art of photography. The presence of old naval stores, warehouses, and shipyards, complemented by ships out of service, anchored in the oily Riachuelo, take the visitor back to 1940. The landscape and its protagonists were shown by the paintings of various artists, but none reached the level of Benito Quinquela Martin, whose sensitivity reflected the life of La Boca and vigorously promoted his cultural activities. The school museum, Pedro de Mendoza, was built on land donated by the painter. In that building, there is a theater and a museum of fine arts with works of numerous artists. On the third floor, Quinquela Martin lived and worked during more than 30 years, and some of his most important paintings are exhibited there. Walking along the street Caminito, it is possible to appreciate the significance of artworks as an expression of the spirit of this neighborhood. Caminito is a diagonal street, used to be crossed by trains of the now closed down cargo railway. Sculptures and mural paintings are exhibited. Painters and artisans offer their works to the public with the colorful frame of the neighboring houses. That passage received the name Caminito, pays tribute to one of the best-known tangos by Juan de Dios Filberto. It is therefore quite natural to play and dance tango there, even with visitors who get involved. Visitors can very soon realize that although in Buenos Aires there are restaurants satisfying all tastes and habits, the Italian and Spanish influence on the gastronomy of the porteños is very strong. And they will be certainly surprised by the high figures of beef consumption. At present, Argentines are in the process of diversifying their diet, but they continue to be the greatest beef consumers in the world. This becomes easier to understand after visiting a parrilla and looking at the variety of cuts and derivatives being grilled with firewood or coal. Porteños also love to prepare asado at home, and cherish to imagine a sunny Sunday chatting with friends or relatives while the beef is grilled on the barbecue installed on the yard or the balcony. Completing the party with one of the delicious red wines produced in the country. To prepare and eat the asado is a sort of ceremony, and the same happens with the mate, the other great national custom. Mate, a type of herbal tea, is taken in the family with friends and among work companions. And it is mandatory to invite the newcomer. To heat water, put the yerba in the mate, a gourd, place a metal type of straw in the correct way, and invite those present following a formal order is a ritual that was already practiced in Buenos Aires even before Argentina was born. So old is the custom that mates and bombillas are among the most remarkable pieces of handicraft produced by colonial silver and goldsmiths. Competing with them, only knives, which constituted the typical instrument and weapon of the gauchos and natives of Buenos Aires. Anyone can verify that on the walls of Buenos Aires, there is an army of creatures watching the passers-by. There are thousands of faces fixed on doors, lintels, and facades, whose immutable expression is only altered by the different incidents of light. They may be masculine and severe, or feminine and delicate, of classical style or stylized modernism, peaceful and happy, or terribly furious. very often repeated on adjacent windows, or located in cement medallions in cameo style. Devils, chimeras, and mythological creature with claws and membranous wings are also present in many buildings, revealing the tormented creativity of some molding designers. For relief of sensitive spirits, their presence is surpassed by the number of celestial armies represented by angels and cherubs. They appear around modillions, displayed the plenitude on their innocent beauty on the frames of windows, or play and frolic in merry congregations. Animals also participate in the ornamental contest without omitting genders or species. Parrots pecking fruit at balconies, serpents slithering up the walls, snails traveling over the fronts, and even enormous bees sitting on the upper part of doors. Eagles and condors display the power of the winged world supporting corbels and balconies. But if there is an animal that Buenos Aires has adopted as decorative pet, it is the lion. It may appear discouraging any ill-intended moderner with a fierce expression. Sometimes it decorates a locket, holding a ring with its fauces. It is common to find them with forcibly human expression, occasionally laughing openly, and at times trapped in human boredom. They can even be found sleeping, resembling shirking cats rather than jungle beasts. As time passed, the ornamental fever, which invaded the architecture of Buenos Aires from 1870 to 1930, became an exceptional entertainment for those who take pleasure in discovering details and imagining stories. To intensely enjoy this activity, it is only necessary to walk slowly around the city, watching the building fronts carefully. Buenos Aires shows its most cosmopolitan aspect in the city, a name given to the 12 blocks located between the streets Rivadavia, Corrientes, Florida, and 25 de Mayo. The concentration of banks, financial offices, exchange brokers, and business corporations is the largest in the country. The area has numerous buildings with modern architecture designed to offer an image of opulence and solidity. The banking and financial bustle typical of this sector, crowded by rushing people, becomes commercial activity in the nearby Florida, the first pedestrian thoroughfare of Buenos Aires. Plants, flower shops, bookstores, music shops, kiosks selling national and foreign publications, art galleries, leather shops, and other elegant boutiques are characteristic of Florida. It has always been a sort of international window for Argentina, and its numerous shopping malls compete offering all kinds of novelties within a casual and attractive framework. The Galerías Pacífico, located at the 700 area of Florida, with access from four different streets, are one of the most traditional and, at the same time, most updated places in Buenos Aires. They date back to the end of the 19th century, when there was a project to build a center that would surpass the Galerías Vittorio Emanuel of Milan. The works were partially carried out, and the installations became successively a cultural center, fine arts museum, office building, and commercial center. Their present appearance is the result of recycling, which modernized them entirely, preserving their rich ornamentation and increased the value of the exceptional paintings on the ceiling. The central dome, divided in sectors corresponding to each one of the four entrances, was painted by Antonio Berni, Lino Eneas Pilimbergo, Juan Carlos Castanino, and Demetrio Urrochua. These frescoes and mural paintings are the most important of Argentina. The Galerías are today a large shopping mall, extending to three levels connected by stairs, corridors, and escalators. They have more than 150 shops, including tea shops, cinemas, and restaurants. A vast sector devoted to cultural activities has special rooms for training courses, art exhibitions, conferences, and artistic shows.
And with that, we come to the end of today's edition of Radio Difusión Argentina al Exterior, which has played part two of this documentary on Buenos Aires city tourist attractions, Dear Buenos Aires, that you can check out on its entirety on YouTube. Next week, we'll have part three of this piece. Gloria Sarmiento was our technician for today. I am Fernando Farias. Thank you very much for listening. Hope you enjoy the show. Have an excellent weekend and join us on Monday for a new program of RAE. Ciao.